Central Catholic. Now, granted, as a Central Catholic Viking, I'm like, I would expect nothing less. I got a very detailed question about prioritizing which officer program should the student pursue for commission as a nuclear engineer, which is something that the college guys that apply for those programs in my area don't really know. And we have to explain to them the benefits. And he already knew it. Some of the questions I got from the ROTC midshipmen here were likewise insightful. They're not just thinking about their first division officer tour. They're thinking about setting themselves up for department head and beyond. And it's just really refreshing. So I personally always like to plan 5-10 years ahead, and I encourage everybody else to do that. And sometimes I have to look around and be like, well, why aren't you planning 5-10 years ahead? That should just be common sense. It should come naturally. And apparently it doesn't. And maybe I was just spoiled being in the Pittsburgh area and being in at Carnegie Mellon, where everybody tends to think like that. I just assumed it was a given and forgot that this place is a very special place.
It is a very special place. What advice would you have for a college student or someone my age?
I would say just a couple things. So first of all, take academics seriously. A lot of it right now is because you don't have a whole lot of work experience to draw upon other than maybe random summer jobs, internship. Heck, I worked at the Giant Eagle when I was in high school. So really what you do in order to build your stock, in order to build your reputation, whatever you can do academically is going to make you stand out. So take your studies seriously and do that. Another thing I can encourage people to do is don't take yourself too seriously, though. I do a lot of scholarship interviews for the ROTC program. And so granted, I'm interviewing a lot of really hot running high school seniors, sometimes juniors. And I've given to ask them, there's a question that I have to ask them as part of the interview process about time management. And I ask them that, and then I look at sometimes some of their answers, and then I say, okay, completely unofficial question. How much time do you spend just in unstructured activities? Hang out with your family, hang out with your siblings, hang out with your friends, going out with your significant other, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, I'm not going to put this answer in my report, but just let me know. And if they say, oh, yeah, I do that on the weekends, I say, good, keep on doing that. If they say, oh, I don't really have time for that because I'm captain of the cross-country team and I'm a science finalist and I play first violin for the orchestra, I'm like, whoa, you're going to give yourself a heart attack by the time you're 23. Stop. I said, you need to take a look at that, too. Like, it's, all those things are important, yes, but when you're 10, 20 years from now, you're not going to remember what you got on the biology final. But you will remember taking your girl to the movies. You will remember spending time just hanging out with your friends on a Saturday afternoon. And those are those human connections that really make us, well, human. And if you're not doing that, then you're probably not doing it right. You're probably going to risk burning yourself out. It's all about that equilibrium I talked about before.
All right. So we are nearly out of time. Is there anything else you want to say?
Nothing other than just thanks for having this opportunity, even though as I was saying before we set up the interview that I used to pass by this studio every day, or maybe not every day, at least once a week as a student here when picking up mail. And I was intrigued about what goes on there and never really had the time or the connections to participate in WRCT. And so it's a lot of fun actually being on the radio.
Well, thank you so much for coming by now. It's been a great time.
Well, thanks so much.
This has been Commander Hoffman. I've been Riona Duncan interviewing on WRCT Pittsburgh. Now we're going to get back into your regularly scheduled Whiskey Before Breakfast. And Amanda Richard does have an interview with Heather Pearson that you might want to stay tuned in for. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter.
All right, everybody, listen up. I got an announcement here from the Allegheny County Emergency Management Council. That's the Allegheny County Emergency Management Council. Are you in emergency? Call 911 if you can. Now text if you can't. Now, Southwestern Pennsylvania wireless customers can send an SMX text message to 911 operator from a mobile device when they can't place a phone call. This feature allows people with hearing or speech impairments, as well as those in situations where it's unsafe to speak on the phone, to contact 911 operators. If you text 911, only send text messages. Multimedia files cannot be received by 911 operators. In the to field, enter the numbers 911. In the message, include the address, location of the emergency, and type of help needed, such as the fire, the police, the ambulance. Click send. Be prepared to answer questions and follow instructions from the 911 operator. If you need to, place your phone on silent so as to not alert the intruders. Remember, do not text and drive, and use 911 services only in an emergency. Use an agency's regular phone line for a non-emergency call.
Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spack Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. And they provide online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. You can learn more about online ordering at their website, www.spackbrothers.com, and you will receive a text message when your food is ready for pickup. For more information, call 412-362-SPAK or visit their website at spackbrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or spakbrothers.com. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities.
Hey there, it's the Mockster from WRCT's own Friday night extravaganza, Viva La Mock, reminding you that you're listening to Whiskey Before Breakfast with my good friend, Mando Richard. But then again, unless you're a first-time listener, you probably already knew what you're listening to, right? Huh? Right? And if not, maybe, just maybe, you've had a little too much whiskey before breakfast, if you know what I mean.
Families affected by disasters urgently need support. You can help the American Red Cross provide help and hope to people in distress when they need it most. Please donate today. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help people affected by disasters, big and small. Your support is critical. We can't do it without you.
Hi, I'm DJ Firefly, the electronic music director here at WRCT. You know, Louis Armstrong once said that all music is folk music because he never heard a horse sing a song. So I invite you to check out the folk music on my show, Couch Dancing, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Well, standing next to me is someone who I don't think he drank too much booze because he's at least head and shoulders taller than I am. Christopher Mark Jones, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
And you are here. Yes, you're a musician and a songwriter, but you're here today to talk about what's going on and at Sunny Hill, the Unitarian Universalist Church of the South Hills.
Yes. I have been associated as an artist with Sunny Hill for some time and did some great shows there, enjoyed it. And then post-pandemic, I was asked if I would be interested in helping program the a renovated concert series, which I agreed to. And we've had 4 successful concerts so far this year, another couple to come, 2 of which we will be talking about a little bit more, but it's a role that is, it's not entirely too new to me. I ran with Ben Shannon and Alex Stanton over at Sunburst School of Music a songwriter showcase for 4 years, but and that involved a certain amount of booking.
Yeah. That was the first time I met you in person, live and in person. I'd been playing your records on WVUD in Newark, Delaware before then. That was the first time I actually got to meet you.
I remember it well, yeah.
Well, coming up on Friday, March 14th at Sunny Hill Unitarian Universalist Church of the South Hills at 1240 Washington Road, we've got
the Heather Pearson Duo. Heather, I've known Heather for some time and actually booked her into the Sunburst series called Bergsong, but have seen her several times at folk conferences and so forth and have always enjoyed her work. And she's a singularly appropriate fit for the Sunny Hill series. She's a marvelous musician and writer and does some worship music as part of her profile.
Yes, for a period of several years, as we're going to play an interview that I did with her in September, she'll talk about it, but for several years, she was actually the music director at a Unitarian congregation up in Maine.
Exactly, and strangely, at one point, she recommended me to be a worship musician at the Northside Unitarian Church, which I did for a couple of dozen weeks. I sort of ran out of gas, I think, and the pastor changed, and I didn't follow it up. But it was Heather who recommended me, so it was a nice thought on her part.
Well, back in September of 2024, I went to a house concert of hers in Steubenville, Ohio, and recorded an interview, which WRCT has already aired on a public affairs program. But I thought this would be a great way to promote her appearance in Pittsburgh on Friday, March 14th, would be to re-air that interview. And by the way, folks, if you're not listening in Pittsburgh, you know what I say anytime we do one of these interviews, support live music wherever you live, wherever you're listening to the show, okay? Here comes the interview of Heather Pearson.
Today we have a conversation I recorded on September 15th of 2024 with musician Heather Pearson. I think you'll enjoy meeting her and hearing her music, but her comments about the music industry today should be particularly enlightening.
Started out just like any day should. By the time I got here, I was feeling no good at all. I should be having a ball. Sometimes you don't get to choose. I've got been low down, dusty house blues. There's dust on the ceiling and dust on the floor. Dust in my eyes.
You just heard Heather Pearson's Dusty House Blues off of her 2024 record, Back to the Light. Thank you so much for meeting me here in Steubenville, Ohio, even though you're from Conway, New Hampshire.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Do you tour all over the U.S., or is it mostly all over the eastern U.S., or what do you do?
All over the U.S.
And how is this new record, Back to the Light, doing?
So far, so good. I'm really excited about this one. This was a group of songs that most of them were written, you know, during these last four wild years that we've all been living through. The trio, Sean and Craig and I, went into the studio in Portland, Maine, actually not this past summer, but the summer of 2023, to record these songs. And my goal was two things, was to for the three of us to record everything live on the floor, or everything that we could record live on the floor. Meaning there are a couple of little overdubs. I couldn't play the piano and the B3 at the same time. So I did a couple of overdubs with B3, and there were some overdubs with harmony vocals. But other than that, everything was recorded live, you know, single takes, no, you know, wizardry or editing or anything like that.
Why do you like that approach?
I really like recording live as much as possible because it really captures something that you... There's this X factor. There's this just something, especially with this, with Back to the Light. When I listen to it now on headphones, I can just remember what it was like being in that room. You can hear the walls. You can hear us breathing sometimes. You can hear that we're all in this space, you know, trying, you know, as my friend Kate Munger says, you know, striving for approximations. You know, we had the ideas of these songs, and we just went in, you know, well rehearsed, and just said, we're going to just record these songs, see where they go, see where they take us. And then I made the decision to just shelve the whole thing for better part of a year. I wanted to kind of forget how they sounded. I wanted to just come back to the takes with fresh ears. And once I realized that we had really captured something special, I was like, okay, we've got this. We've got the next record in the can.
That track you just played, you could have been describing my house with a Dusty House Blues. I mean...
Yes. Yeah, it's a song that I wrote a couple of summers ago when Sean and I were in New Orleans. We go to New Orleans every year. There's a traditional jazz camp that we both work and teach at, and then we stay for as much extra time as our schedules will allow. And 2 years ago, we were in town for the jazz camp, and we arrived a week early, and we spent a couple of nights at a house right in the French Quarter on Dauphine Street. And it literally... The lyric does not lie. There really was dust on the ceiling.
You said Sean. You mean Sean Netto.
Yes, Sean Netto playing the bass. Yes.
Yeah. You've now put out 16 records.
Yeah.
And I feel like your music has evolved.
I often joke that I'm just a kid that couldn't decide what she wanted to be when she grew up.
Have you grown up?
Oh, no. Why would I do that? But yeah, I would definitely agree that my music has, and songwriting has evolved, and especially as, you know, the city of New Orleans just keeps weighing more and more heavily on, you know, the things that I create. There's something about having the seed of an idea, the seed of a song, and then with improvisation and with the sort of the infrastructure of jazz, if you will, just finding out what can happen in that space. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. I feel like you start off as a sort of a folk singer, and now I hear some stride piano influences in there. I hear some Moes Allison influences in there. It's like, yeah, this is a totally different kind of music than, you know, your records in the early 2010s.
Yeah. Well, the pandemic changed all of us, right? And so, you know, Sean and I were home a lot, practicing a lot. I was playing a lot more piano and really getting back to a lot of the sounds I was hearing as a kid. My dad, he didn't play music professionally. He had terrible stage fright, but he was a very gifted musical person, and he loved his clarinet. He loved his Pete Fountain records and his Woody Herman records. And my bedroom in the house I grew up in was right above the living room that had the good stereo, the good record player. And so I very often fell asleep night after night to my dad noodling along on his Selmer, playing along with his Woody Herman and Pete Fountain records. And I would just hear this sound coming up through the floorboards. And it's funny, I didn't really truly and totally appreciate that influence until I was much older. When I was a kid, I was just like, oh, dad's listening to his jazz records, you know. And I enjoyed the sounds, and I still do, but I didn't fully appreciate what a lasting impact those formative moments had on me until during the pandemic. I had a lot of time, as we all did, to really slow down and pay attention to our moment-to-moment experience, to memories, good and bad, you know, pleasant and unpleasant. And I really just steered into the New Orleans early jazz sound, which I've been falling in love with more and more every year of my life that I go and work and teach in New Orleans and play in New Orleans. But I, having that precious time that was so precious and also very difficult in so many ways, for me personally, it was a real gift to be able to just sit still for that long and really kind of dig into the creative aspect of, you know, of life. So
with your 2024 record Back to the Light, there's a noticeable change in your trio, and that Davey Sturdivant is now retired.
He's retired from the road. He's not doing the long haul touring. We still play together, yeah, you know, yeah, up in Maine and New Hampshire and northern New England where we are. But the trio now has Craig Bryan on drums and harmony vocals. He is just a wonderful musician and wonderful friend. And he was part of the trio that was doing the Charlie Brown Christmas concerts. And we're still doing those every year. And then in that time when Davey was, you know, moving on from touring and you know, we just decided, hey, Craig, what do you think about, you know, playing more of my originals? And he just fell right in. And that really kind of, for me, solidified this new sound. It's sort of an old sound is new again, kind of. Like you said, Mose Allison, right, like all of those.
It's like a classic jazz trio.
Yeah.
With piano and bass and drums.
Yes, in a room together.
Right.
Yeah. That. Right. And so I really wanted to capture that, and I think we've done that. Yeah.
We're chatting with Heather Pearson, and we're talking about her 2024 record, Back to the Light. Let's let the folks hear the title track from this. Tell us about the song, Back to the Light.
Back to the Light is a song that, it was one of those songs that felt like a lightning strike one afternoon. You know, just sometimes I've got many, many notebooks full of songs that I have started and never finished, started and finished and they're terrible, started and finished and they're pretty good. And this was one that just hit me in like an afternoon, like the whole thing start to finish. And I sometimes have described this as a song that sort of, I tried to capture everything that I feel when I listen to a band like the Wood Brothers, which is a band I really love. And there's some feeling I get when I listen to them, and I was trying to capture that feeling with this song.
Everybody's trying to be free from the ghosts that haunt them at night. At the same time, nobody wants to admit to their fright. Track.
Heather Pearson, and you just heard Back to the Light from her 2024 record of the same name. And we've got up to you in Steubenville, Ohio. And I want to mention just it's how hard you have to work to make a living at this.
Yeah. I often joke that there are tens of dollars to be made playing music for a living.
It's a totally different sense of the music industry from your point of view as an independent artist, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, things are changing so rapidly. And because our technology is evolving, you know, much more rapidly than we are as humans, it's really hard to keep up. And the way that people even enjoy and listen to and even consume music has changed so much. Everything is so readily available online. You know, just a couple of clicks and you can find, you know, everybody's discography just boom, right there. It's which I think is wonderful in some ways. And the technology, of course, like everybody has a recording studio in their pocket or on their laptop. So that's lowered the bar of entry, which is wonderful. And that just means there's a whole lot more, you know, noise to kind of get your voice heard above. Not that it's all noise. There's a lot of wonderful music out there. There's lots of wonderful music in the world. And yes, the way people are consuming it and enjoying it and supporting it is changing. You kind of have to be, as an independent, you know, full-time music maker, you have to really pay attention to those trends and also figure out for yourself, you know, what sacrifices am I willing to make, you know, in the way I live my life, you know, living very frugally and making certain choices. And at least that's what it's been for me.
Yeah. I think back to when I was young. I'm about 30 years older than Heather. You know, it used to be that back in the dinosaur days, bands would tour to support the sale of their LPs.
Right.
And now it's flipped, hasn't it?
Kind of. I mean, there is still some of that, but then it's... I remember hearing a joke about the Rolling Stones are really just a very complicated T-shirt selling company. I can't remember where I heard that, but the merchandising, like that's... Like a lot of concerts I go to by some of my favorite bands, you might see LPs. You don't see CDs as much as you used to, but you see a lot of T-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and, you know, napkin holders and all of the things.
But the LPs are now marketed as luxury items.
Yeah, there is, like I say, there is a real sea change that's happening, and I think we're still in it. You know, it's just it's evolving all the time. And it's easy to get caught up in the cycle of that and start to worry, and the idea of, you know, comparison being the thief of joy, like, oh, well, that person is doing XYZ, I should do XYZ. But for me, it's really about coming back to, you know, what do I believe? How do my actions support my beliefs? How can I maintain my integrity as I, you know, want it to be? And how do I want to be seen and all of that? It's, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little too deep for this, but it's a deep topic. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of layers.
You know, you look back to the 1970s, you have bands like Big Star that the critics loved, but the record never went into distribution.
Yeah.
And they sort of were gone.
Yeah.
And I think that's one big change in the industry is that the, as you said, the barriers to entry to making a record are so much lower.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect you? How does that affect the marketplace in general?
Well, it just means there's a lot more, as much as I don't like this word in the context of music and art, there's a lot more competition. You know, there's so many more of us that are all vying for the same, you know, bookings or festivals or, you know, listening room gigs or radio interviews or press or whatever. There's so many more voices that are, you know, saying, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. And you know, everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be heard and to be seen and to be appreciated. So, yeah, there's just a lot more competition. And because I'm not a very competitive person by nature, you know, maybe some opportunities whiz right by me that, you know, that another person might think those are the ones you should be going after. But I my philosophy from the beginning of doing this full time, especially, is to go where I'm invited, you know, because I want to honor that. If somebody really want, like, you know, house concerts, for instance. If somebody really wants me to come to their home and play in their backyard or in their living room or whatever, I want to try to make that happen and honor that request.
There's a difference in the way Heather Pearson is talking about music than the way a music mogul would. And that you're talking about the music, you're not talking about the bottom line
right.
And how many tens of thousands of dollars can we get if we add this blonde-haired bass player?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's an approach, right? That is a, you know, depending on the context, that can be a formula for quote-unquote success. And, you know, I wish you all the best. I don't know. Maybe I have a different definition of success. I mean, I've been doing music, nothing but music, full-time for 15 years, and that's a success story.
It is. It really is. I mean, but the focus is on the music,
yes,
not the business.
And business is important. It's important to surround yourself with people who can help you. You know, I have a booking agent, and I have a person who does tour publicity for me, and I have a person who's doing radio and press and all of that. And it's really about surrounding yourself with people who really believe in you. You can hire mercenaries. I don't like to hire mercenaries. I like to hire people who really believe in what I'm doing and are already fans of what I'm doing. And that's the right approach for me. It's not the right approach
for everybody.
Yeah. And also I love to share it with people. I love to connect with like-minded folks, and to me, and especially with everything that's, you know, happening politically in this country, I just think that the idea of bringing people together around the ember of live music, around this, you know, I'm not a political performer, and I know a lot of people who are. I think if you pay close enough attention to my lyrics and to the things that I talk about, you might be able to guess where I'm at, and not because I'm a waffler, it's just because I think my favorite place to be is on the fence, and I can hear... I really think we need to listen to each other more. At its best, music connects us and unites us, even if we don't agree. I forget who said, you know, we don't have to think alike to love alike. And to me, that is one of the guiding principles of my whole life, is just that we don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to agree on anything at all. And music, I think, is something that touches everybody in a way that sort of transcends all these other bright lines that we keep drawing around one another.
One of the coolest things that you do, Heather Pearson, is you share a lot of your jazz improvisations, a lot of your improvisational music with people online, either with Facebook concerts or from your website.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I have this, it's called Heather's Piano Piece, P-E-A-C-E, and I've been doing it for several years now. Every 3 days, there's a brand new, totally improvised piece of instrumental piano music that I make available on my website. You can just download them for free and listen to them. Yeah.
Of course, Heather will accept your donation if you want to listen to them, but you've not overtly monetized the project.
No, I haven't. No, it's really important to me to, because piano is where I started musically, and it's where I feel the most comfortable, I would say. Although, I do love to sing, too.
but
the piano, I feel like I can say everything that I want to say musically without having to put any kind of lyrical content to it. It's really a place where I can just freely express everything that I've been sort of rambling about.
Something that you said, Heather, made me suddenly think about Marion McPartland, the mm-hmm. late, great jazz pianist.
Oh, yeah.
And her radio show was a long-time staple all over public radio, where she'd have different musicians in, and they'd talk with each other, share ideas, and then improvise with each other.
Yeah.
You really enjoy just even watching you and Sean today. And, you know, the two of you are having fun improvising with each other up there on stage.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it's about for you.
Yeah, it's a conversation. Music is a conversation. And it's a language, and there are many dialects to that language. And I just keep, you know, trying to pick up the ones that feel the most comfortable in my skin and trying them out.
One of the records that you put out recently that I really, really enjoyed was Heart Songs and Circle Songs. You collaborated with?
My friend Bernice Martin. She's been a dear friend for about 20 years. For a number of years, I was a music director at a very small Unitarian Universalist church in Western Maine. And Bernice was a member of the congregation who had this beautiful voice. I could just hear this beautiful, deep, resonant voice coming from the back pew every Sunday. And I discovered that she is a gifted songwriter in her own right. And so in 2018 or 2017, we started collaborating on this project that we call Heart Songs and Circle Songs. And in 2018, we released the first of two so far full-length recordings of these songs that we call them songs for community singing. And really what they are singing as a spiritual practice without any, there's no dogma, there's none of that. It's just singing for the sake of singing. And we've been traveling, Bernice and I, all over the country, bringing community singing to lots of different places, to churches, to weekend-long events, to retreats. And it's been such a gratifying other facet to what I offer.
Well, listeners, if you couldn't tell, the last track you're going to hear is a collaboration between Bernice Martin and Heather Pearson. Now, Bernice actually wrote the song, right?
She did, yeah. It was actually written, listeners are probably aware of the Peace Pole Project, mm-hmm. and there was one installed at First Universalist of Norway, Maine, which is that small church that I was the music director for a number of years. When that Peace Pole was installed, Bernice wrote this song. I took it, harmonized it. We brought a whole bunch of our friends and fellow choir members into the studio to record a whole bunch of songs, including this version of May Peace Prevail.
Thank you so much, Heather, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. Prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail. May peace prevail. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail. May peace prevail. May peace prevail upon earth. May peace prevail.
Our gospel set's going to begin with the Spiritual Light Gospel Group.
Tis a rock of ages
left for me, for even me.
Stormy waters round me.
Stormy waters round me.
Thunders roll.
How the thunders roll.
How the mighty billows.
How the mighty billows rock me. Toss my soul on a fine sweet comfort.
And in the background, you're hearing the original version of Whiskey Before Breakfast by Andy DeJarlis from his release, Backwoods Fiddle Tunes. Now, what was our little gospel set? The Spiritual Light Gospel Group began it with My Work Will Be Done. That's from Playing for the Man at the Door, field recordings from the collection of Mac McCormick that came out on Smithsonian back in 2023, but was recorded back in the 1960s. Then you heard Mahalia Jackson doing Search Me, Lord, from her record Gospels, Spirituals, and Hymns. And then the Chuckwagon Gang gave us Stormy Waters from Radio Days that came out in 2021. Thanks, everybody, for having tuned into Whiskey Before Breakfast Radio or the Roots Program. I look forward to seeing you again next week on the radio.
Remaster Media joins you in supporting WRCT. Are you a musician, podcaster, YouTuber, or TikToker? Remastermedia.com can make your audio sound amazing and professional. You can join thousands that have added greater depth, clarity, and stereo imaging to their audios and videos by using Remastermedia.com. There are even noise reduction features to take away nasty buzz and hiss from remote or phone recordings. Before you share your next audio or video, you can visit Remastermedia.com to make it sound amazing. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, please email pr@wrct.org for more info about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities.
Zombo in your brain has no business being on the public airwaves. It's Off the Rails Radio, Fridays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Court's in session. Join your rockin' attorney Eric Jackson Lurie for a couple of hours of rock and roll, country, and soul with a focus on new music by your favorite classic artists. Thursdays at 8 p.m. only on WRCT Pittsburgh.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
I'm Ella Harp, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
much of a fan. She said, I'm gonna learn to take it easy. I'm gonna find joy where I can. Something to do with my hands. Well, she found that something in a little cardboard box. A thousand pieces before her, each one a new lesson taught.
Tears leading out of this place. Trees are bare and the land is wasted. someday the trout will come back to the river.
Pasuk, Moyo, Yangu. Pasuk, Moyo, Yangu. For those of you that don't know what it means, it is Swahili toss. What does it mean, Raymond the Condemned?
WRCT Pittsburgh. There was a wicked messenger from Eli. He did come with a mind that multiplied the smallest matter. When questioned who had sent for him, he answered with his thumb. For his tongue yet could not speak but only flatter. Stayed behind the assembly hall, it was there he made his bed. Oftentimes he could be seen returning, until one day he just appeared with a note in his hand which read, "The soles of my feet, I swear they're burning." Heart. If you cannot bring good news, then don't bring any.
Short, and your house is painted white.